While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Very good afternoon, Namibia, and a warm welcome to everyone joining us from near and far. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM, the home of insightful conversation and real national dialogue. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and this is On The Radar News Analysis, where headlines meet context. It's Friday, the 9th of January, 2025. And of course, we begin our show where we dive into news that matters. Now, as we begin a brand new year, this moment marks more than just a turn of the calendar. It is a season of new beginnings where fresh priorities are being set. Bold commitments are being made and being big decisions, pardon me, by government, business and ordinary citizens alike will shape the direction of our country in the months ahead. And in the year, policies move from paper to practice. National promises face their first tests and communities begin asking whether change will be felt where it matters most. Namibia once again stands at an important crossroads where leadership is being measured, public trust is being negotiated, and the choices made now will echo far beyond 2026. Now, in this program right here on the Radar, we go beyond reporting the news. We examine the motives, unpack the impact, and question what it all means for ordinary Namibians, from our business districts to our rural towns. In a time of fast change and louder narratives, we offer you something steady, informed analysis, credible voices, and space for critical reflection. From 1300 hours to 1430, Monday through Friday, On The Radar connects you to the issues driving the national conversation with expert commentary, real-life perspectives, and the kind of journalism that doesn't just inform but empowers as well. So today's edition will bring key developments into sharper focus, giving you the background, the facts, and the insight needed to understand the bigger picture. You can tune in via all Eagle FM frequencies, stream us live on Eagle FM app, and stay connected through our WhatsApp channel for updates, polls, and exclusive content. So settle in, whether you're commuting, working, or listening from home, and stay tuned. This is where Namibia pauses, reflects, and engages with its future. Because right here on The Radar, the truth is never out of reach. And now let's jump straight into the top stories. With tertiary education fees no longer a major barrier for many Namibian students, the national conversation is shifting from access to impact. The critical question is no longer, can I afford to study, but what should I study and why? Choosing the right university course has become one of the most important decisions young people will make, not only for their personal fulfillment, but for Namibia's broader economic and social development. At an individual level, the choice of university course shapes a person's career trajectory, earning potential job satisfaction and long-term stability. Many students enter tertiary institutions with limited guidance, often influenced by peer pressure, family expectations, or trends rather than personal strength, interests, and market realities. This mismatch can lead to high dropout rates, prolonged study periods, unemployment after graduation, or graduates working in fields unrelated to their qualifications. Now, choosing the right course, therefore, requires honest self-assessment, understanding one's skills, passions, values, and aptitude, alongside clear information about what different fields of studies actually demand. Now, from an economic perspective, course selection has national consequences. Namibia continues to face skills shortages in critical sectors such as health, education, engineering, agriculture, renewable energy, ICT, or information communication technology, and vocational and technical fields. Now, at the same time, there is an oversupply of graduates in certain disciplines where employment opportunities are limited. For instance, education programs, teachers, programs, nursing programs as well. Now, when students align their studies with national development priorities and labor market needs, tertiary education becomes a powerful engine for economic growth, innovation, and self-reliance. Strategic course choices help reduce graduate unemployment and lessen dependency on foreign expertise. Now, this discussion of today raises the importance of career guidance and information access. Many learners, particularly those from rural or disadvantaged backgrounds, lack exposure to diverse career paths. Universities, government schools, and the private sector all have a role to play in providing accurate, early and ongoing career guidance, including information about emerging industries, entrepreneurship opportunities, and alternative pathways such as technical and vocational education and training, that is TVET. Now, success should not be measured by university degrees alone, but by relevance, adaptability, and contribution to society. Now, we're going to get in conversation with Simon Namesho, Crystal Nassau, and Simon Amunime. They're going to join in on the conversation as we focus. And the focus will be on empowering students to make informed, future-orientated decisions. Choosing the right university courses is not just about chasing prestige or trends, but about aligning personal purpose with national needs. In doing so, tertiary education becomes more than a qualification. It becomes a tool for personal development and personal growth, economic resilience, and sustainable national development. Let's pause right here now and get hold of the guests that have the right information or who can propel this discussion into the right direction. We see you after the commercial break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota enjuka okukwetira oipindi konu honda doili nawa mene udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. Now joining me in studio telephonically is Simon Amunime, who is an activist and also a lecturer. Simon, a very good afternoon to you and welcome to On the Reader News Analysis.
Greetings to the listeners as well, and compliments for the news.
I never actually realized that your titles complement each other. You are a scholar and a youth advocate and a lecturer as well. So actually it aligns so very well. But I think that is the first question that I should start off. Now that I've come to get to this enlightenment only today, although we have engaged so many times. Simon, what is it that propelled you to choose the course that you did choose? And do you think you had the right information and the right guidance to choose the course that you did?
No, thank you very much for those kind words. I think when it comes to the education journey, it's never easy. It's quite a very rough and tough road that one takes. Because as they say, some people take the stairs while some take the elevator. So not all of us are fortunate, and opportunities are not granted at the same time for everybody. When I completed my secondary education, of course, in Katutura, the school called Emmanuel Shifidi Secondary School.
Mm-hmm.
I so much wanted to study law or political science.
Okay. Yeah,
but my points were not so good. I think I was an average student, but not a good student. So I had around 30 points. So UNAM couldn't take me to do law, and I was not admitted for political sciences. But very depressed, I went back home. Then I had an idea to go at least and go and upgrade my grades with NAMCO. It was not an easy thing, but of course I had a very caring mother. She decided that, no, she's going to take my statement, went to IM and registered me for a program in information technology, because her conviction was that I must not stay home, I must go to school. After I get that degree, then I can perhaps go and study what I want to become.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that, I ended up studying information technology. I have a degree and an honors specializing in information systems. But that's what kick-started my journey, opened up. As we say, education is not just merely for getting you a job, but it expands your understanding. It opens you up to a lot of
action.
And it also builds your network. So I did that. Later I got a job. I'm not interested in IT, but it's, of course, a course that propelled me to what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. So after that, I'm on my own. I had to go and do other things, study other programs such as public governance, public governance, project management, business management. So I had to go and do other things, but that was a stepping stone that I used, even though it was never my passion to study information technology, something that opened up and it brought a lot of opportunity towards me. And one can say is that with education, it's like once you get the foundation, it opens you up to a variety of things and it also gives you direction. But of course, as we know that they say you must make your passion your profession, which is very important in terms of your aspiration and interest. But education is merely knowledge that you are given, that then you navigate yourself and see how you can carve and craft your own profession and future.
Mm, I agree. Thank you so much for sharing that story. Now, getting back to the students now, and since it's now their time to make those choices, and of course, there are still other people who will find themselves in a similar situation, but nonetheless, of course, they can still make use of that education that they get, depending on how they also see it. Now, getting back to those students who are now obviously going to be, some of them, a first year enrolling for the first time, why is choosing the right course very important for them, even for the future, whether it's fulfillment in that particular course that they're doing, whether it's also finances, how it's going to benefit them? Just why is such that a significant matter, Simon?
Yeah, no, I think and believe choosing the right course is something that is very paramount, very important, because it's the right choice or it's the right course for that particular individual. That's why some of us have put in so much effort, especially the previous year, in terms of doing career guidance, career fairs, and stuff around like that for the learners that are coming from school to be exposed, of course, to those different courses that are available, the different faculties and programs. Because, mind you, most of our traditional kids that are at villages, that are at remote areas, are only exposed to seeing people that are studying education and nurses. Those are the two professions that we are all exposed to. That a neighbor is a nurse and somebody is a teacher, then that's what all we know. And also looking at that, the black communities at home, we are faced with a lot of challenges. Looking at the economic hardships and stuff like that, we are always encouraged and advised to say, take a course that will maybe get you a job first. After you graduate, then you get a job, become a teacher, become a nurse. But the realities have changed. Economies are now different. The emerging markets and stuff around like that. I think it's just yesterday we saw around a lot, 500 people went for less than 20 positions in nursing at the Shakati State Hospital.
Mm.
Teachers, we had an oversupply of around 15,000. Teachers that we have that are unemployed, and government is going to recruit this year around 2,000. So it's a crisis, and that's not the way to go anymore, to say that everyone must become a nurse and everyone must become a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to explain to the young ones is the opportunities that lie within other programs, such as engineering, such as the emerging market, such as IT and artificial intelligence, the project management, programs such as medicine and so, but it also boils down to the person. Because once you are passionate about something, you always find a way around it.
Sure.
Even if they say no, in this particular area, that no, it's full, but you yourself, your determination and your commitment, if that's what you are called to do, it already serves as a motivation for you to be able to succeed in that particular area. So it's just perhaps to lay down all those different programs that are available, and also just explain in terms of the career opportunities that are there, what they can do. But it's also some programs, it's not just about jobs creation anymore. You can really go and become somebody on your own. With the experience, the knowledge that you get, you can really flourish by having taken in that, and you can really become a good somebody. But it's really important when it comes to choosing those courses. But for me, what is fundamental is that for one to understand and say, what are you really passionate about? If you want to be cooking, you want to be a chef, go for it. If you want to be a radio presenter, do media. If you want to be a journalist, let it be. If you want to go to TV, you are good at mechanics, do that, because it's your passion and you make really make a contribution to us. Other than just asking people to do a program because you anticipate you get a job, but you don't give your all, you don't make a contribution even towards the economy.
Correct. You know, I have a sister of mine who for quite some time she's been trying to improve on her point, and eventually she's now doing an agriculture course with I can't remember the name now, but it's a government related sort of like TVET, and she was somehow looking down on herself doing that course. And I was standing here that agriculture is the new thing, my sister. If people are talking about agriculture now, food security, that's the discussion on many people's lips now. As much as we can have doctors in our country, as much as we can do all this many things, the basics of it is that we need food. And we are now wiser to realize that we don't want food from South Africa. No, seriously, as much as we're depending on them, we want to depend on ourselves. You know, there comes a point where we really want to be independent, and that's where Namibia is going. So I don't know. I sure hope that I instilled some sort of encouragement in her to say that I think the whole point is those courses that were looked down upon then are now proving to be very important and very significant in this day and age. Let's talk about social work, for instance, you know, or psychologists, for instance. So many people are dealing with mental health issues, and sometimes a well-educated person, not because they have any mental health illness, but they need to go and see a social worker or a psychologist just to release off that tension. It helps balance the situation as well. Not to talk about agriculture now, of course, TVET, ICT is now becoming the thing. So really, I think these are really some of the things that we need to be telling the students, because it has become a norm that they follow just what the parents tell them to do, you know?
No, absolutely, absolutely. Programs such as agriculture, as you have stated, have become the new normal. Even with the new administration, the government has made it the top priority when it comes to agriculture. But there are also other programs, like you've stated, as you are saying, mental health is an issue. Everyone needs psychosocial support. So those are some of the programs looking at TVET, the VTC, which was regarded as a stepchild in the past, that is for dumb kids and starts around.
Correct.
This is the most significant program when it comes. We have other important colleges, for example, with something called the College of the Arts, which is the only existing now government college that we have. We train people in Africa performing art, in media, in so different things that our people don't understand. But mostly people that go to institutions like that are the ones that find employment first, that do self-employment and stuff around like that.
Correct.
So those are some of the most important. But overall, it also, in addition to your own passion, your interest and aspiration as a person, you must also look at the things that correspond to the needs of our economy.
Mm.
Yeah, like we've stated, there are now new emerging markets, like, for example, artificial intelligence. I know at NAS where I'm working, they've introduced a new program now in AI.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a global thing. Mm-hmm. We must adapt to it. So those are some of the emerging markets that you can tap into and stuff and programs around like that. When you say we want to be industrialized by 2030, what does it mean to be industrialized? You must go into manufacturing. Mm. And what does it mean to manufacture? Meaning we have to take pivot serious. Our people must be able to come up with things to build industry, manufacture other than just replace that. We don't know. You replace a bulb that is broken, you put it back. You go, you take out an engine, you put it back. So we must really begin to tap into those programs of coming up with an engine of manufacturing something and stuff around clothing, make our own uniform, and stuff around like that. So there are different paths that you take when you go into university. You can follow the academic road. You can follow the TVET road. There are so many things that you can do. But also one thing that we must never forget is also the aspect of soft skills. You find soft skills where you can do a program for 1 year, 6 months, 8 months that can really give you knowledge that can make you to survive on your own. Somebody can study something to be maybe a graphic designer for 6 months.
Yeah.
That person will start up a company, be designing graphics for Eagle FM, for Mulunga Radio, for a ministry, and they live off that. And that's what we are saying. And it must not just be equated to monetary value. It's about our contribution. If you want to be a man of God, you go to Palenium and study a theology, you want to be a pastor, that can be some of the stuff that you look into, and that must be the purpose of education.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course the influence of parents, it's one thing that you have to deal with. Parents are very serious, but because they are more concerned on kids securing jobs, but they must understand that the economies have changed.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes their parents don't understand how the change of the economy is actually going.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but I think we must encourage them and also allow the parents to ask what the kids want to do. I also have siblings that are going to university this year. I can't dictate to them what you must give them that option and say, what do you like as an individual? Mm-hmm. What do you want to become?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see yourself? So at least you can, because they are not so exposed, so you can judge and make assessment from some of those questions that they're asking. And say, no, the person likes cooking. Let them go and do hospitality. They want to become a chef.
Yes.
If they're, you find a learner that's coming from grade 11 or grade 12, they perform so poorly in other subjects, maybe D, good in maybe Afrikaans and English.
Mm.
If they want to do media or journalism, what prevents that is their strength?
Mm.
Yeah, so we should look at the strength of our kids, their interests, their patience, and stuff around like that. Then I think we'll really build a good future if we are to look around those issues.
Correct. You know, one thing I have come to identify is that back then we had Ramatex, right? The Chinese company that was then that had recruited a lot of Namibians. But one thing I've come to realize is that us Namibians are not very keen or passionate about not needlework, but you know, I'm losing the word about making clothes.
Yes.
You know, being tailors is the right word, you know, being tailored, you know, even though they have some sort of exposure, they usually don't try their best to enhance that skill so that they can perfect it so very well and then be able to make clothes that, or even school uniforms, for instance, and school uniforms are coming in very handy at this particular point in time. And there are some people who also make school bags. So I think also that aspect of those who already have the skills to just enhance it in order for them to do better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You are 100% correct. That's why I spoke about soft skills as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really just need a 5-year degree or 4-year degree, because we also have to change the understanding of education.
Okay.
Education shouldn't just be equated to a paper, because that's the obsession that we have now. It's a country, everyone just wants to say that I have an MBA, I have a degree in whatsoever, but our contribution is really nothing despite us acquiring those qualifications. We have a lot of people that are PhD holders, doctors, but really what do they contribute to our solution of the country in terms of employment creation? And I also ask that, always ask that in my class, my MBA classes. And no, but you have
Simon, pardon me. Simon, forgive me. Simon, so sorry.
Yes.
Stay on the line for me, just shortly.
Okay. Okay.
Rande so le vulo mponga sana. Por aquele ni matungi mwa Namibia muno mkunda doko mambo. Elie divi so le mulo kutundira ko ministeri una ndima marno nege mefuta memane wapo kururevu. Por aquele ni na wano kulitamba ika mbudiezi kumono ane koroveni kama parambo na wakawumi. Hagekini siruga na sokurande sana kuranda e vulo mponga sana. Morwa singi, morwa e vulo mponga sana mwa Namibia e vule pangero hani kwa to kulirande sa mwankidi nkini. Kulihame sila masuruga sokurande sa ndi kuranda evu kapi ya polisira. Weta ze wapo kuru evu ndio mkunda yezi wana kutumburasi act number 5 of 2002 kwa silika hivi ya ukayangosna. Matenge kogo iruga na vatura polisira ya rande so evu. Matenge kogo paveta, wadonga nesiveta angava futisa taninga waza modorungu. Hedonga neso ulo mpora amu mkunda. Herande so ndie rando evu kufura kulete sapo mapiro kulizuva ndi marwa nambo munu mkunda deti. Yenki yeyono hepa kudiwa. Evuli mponga sana ula natuwenye. Haluru none rokuli gavera urunatu guwane namo natuwenye mawa. Tupungure ni upingwa wetu. Kukufuma deka evuli mponga sana ose kufuma deka mulio kono mpo detu kani popera nkara pamozitu. Rapotai via ukayapira kupulisira. Musenda sowe kuna kugaza rasi, kuna karapo, hiruga na irande soevu. Hirapota kundango zorudi, ndango zevulo mponga sano. Ndiko mbele wazo ministeri, hozakara pepi nevango ryogi. Turuga nini kumwe, tukungiru none revulo etulo mponga sano. Tulikungire mhoku kukome. Uministeri kapna ukakara na uzoni. Sena kazumba nesa marunone gevu, mora hiruga na dona irande soevulo mponga sano. Diorokasi, evulo mponga sano mulo unene, tulipo pere nino kulipungwira na vene. Mpandu keruga neno kumu. Edivi sweli, ulioko radio, kunali tulisa pone kwato sokole pasi maruwa tunde la kepangero lusuro ngusa Namibia, hani pangero la Germany, Peteramo, German Development Bank. Mwagwana kama puku rogomanzi, guwane kerano mbele wazo ministeri za karira pepi, ni wango loge, ndiko mbele wazo inka yonkara pamwe, mu ministeri una ndima, marino nege mefuta, mema ne wapo kuroevu, kono moraezi. Yehuta ntazimwe zimwe, mbali yehuta ntantatu, tambali ntazimwe yehuta ni.
Simon, we are back. You were saying...
I was saying is that we should also really debunk ourselves from the obsession of just acquiring qualification for the sake of building perhaps our civilian profile. But we make little contribution in terms of what we've acquired.
Yeah.
Just to say, look, we have professors that are doctored in, for example, business entrepreneurship. But those are colleagues that one can't even really come up with any business. You can't even run their own tax shop at home. Yeah, but they'll tell you all about entrepreneurship and stuff around like that. So I think the meaning of education must really be to transform, not just for the sake of graduating and getting the paper, but it's to get the knowledge and use the knowledge in terms of application.
Yeah.
We must be able to apply what we learn. And when you apply, we must apply and really make transformation in change of changing lives, bring opportunities for others, and stuff around like that. You go to the village, all of us were educated from the same village. Maybe 5, 10, one is a doctor, one is a nurse, one is an engineer, one is an IT technician. But what changes have we made in that particular village after we graduated and really emerged from that village? Because education must be able to make some lawyers and stuff around like that. So I think when you get educated, we must use the knowledge to transform our lives and also our community where we find ourselves.
That's a very good point, Simon. Imagine a group of, maybe it has happened, we just haven't heard about it, but imagine of a young group of graduates from one particular village, one a particular community, and they come together to say, you know what, for us, we want our young people as they finish university to know what courses to go and study out there. So we are bringing a library close to home for the children. But yeah, thank you so much for your insight. Yeah.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Even you find lawyers, you are a lawyer, you are from a village, but what is then our contribution to say, I'm a lawyer, I'll maybe go and explain about how land rights work, how all these types of things work. So, but we must really use our education to empower and transform life. I think which is important. Otherwise, people always render it that, people get degrees, then they detach themselves and say they are now civilized, then you are no longer part of that group. You be yourself important. Then education does not really make a difference anymore.
Correct.
Yeah.
Simon, thank you so much. I always appreciate your sentiments with us, and I'm so glad that you definitely are in the field of lecturing and teaching, and also guiding. I'm also teaching right here through the radio. I appreciate it, Simon.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Bye. And of course, there you had it from Simon Amonime. He's a scholar and a youth advocate, as well as a lecturer at the Namibia University of Science and Technology. Let's pause here now and let's get hold in touch. Let's get in touch with yet another person to speak to us about what career guidance one should actually take, and not just any career, but also one that helps for the development of the country, to the economy, and whether also the social well-being of our country. I'll see you after the commercial break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. You are still tuned into On the Radar News Analysis right here on your number one talk radio station. Now, of course, joining me in studio right now again telephonically is Crystal Nassau, and she is the Corporate Engagement Director, Corporate Engagement and International Relations at the Wilwitschia University. A very good afternoon to you, ma'am, and welcome to On the Radar.
Hi, good afternoon, Ms. Happy, and also to the listeners.
Such a pleasure to engage you right here on the Radar News Analysis.
Yes, definitely.
You know, I want to believe that you are just the right candidate to discuss also on this aspect. Having considered that last year you just graduated, was it your master's or your PhD? I'm now lost.
Actually, myself, I completed my master's in journalism and media technology.
Yeah,
and currently, awaiting to be a PhD candidate at the University of Johannesburg.
Interesting. Yeah. You see now. Let's get right into today's conversation about career guidance. And of course, not just any, career, for a student out there who has finished a school, but one that actually aligns with the development of the country and contributes significantly to our economy. How would you say students should go about that?
Well, you know, when we're talking about economic development, courses that are tied to market demands should actually be aligned to fill the skill gaps in sectors such as especially mining, tourism and technology here in Namibia, mm-hmm. amongst others. And this also will allow to reduce youth unemployment that is currently so high, as well as also to boost the current GDP through mm-hmm. innovation that these students may employ. And also with the current free education, it also amplifies this by enabling more students to pursue sort of like high impact fields without any financial hurdles like in the past.
Mm. Would you say perhaps now that education is no longer, or tertiary education fees are no longer a major mm-hmm. barrier, at least even if for certain courses, let's say for a household that three students will be going to school and maybe two of them, the cost is fully funded by the government and then the parents only have to look into one direction for one. Now, since that is no longer a barrier, do you think there could be a tendency for students to make the wrong choice career-wise, because education is for free?
Yes, of course, that is a really good question, Ms. Happy. Firstly, I can tell you that a lot of students, more than expected on an annual basis, will be applying because education is free. And of course, we run that risk of students misaligning their career goals with what is expected from them. I've been in the industry of education for over 15 years, and especially mm-hmm. in my beginning years, what I've always advocated for is for students to actually look at what they want to do and not, number one, what their parents want to do or what is being offered and is available. So most students in the past, you would see they would run to nursing and also to teaching because mm-hmm. that's where the scholarships were at. That's mm-hmm. where the skill gaps were at. But it does not necessarily mean that these students are aligned or that teaching or nursing was their sort of like their passion and their career objective, but just because the scholarships were available. And this really is primarily pushed by the socioeconomic issues and circumstances that most of the country's youth is facing. So it's basically they are trying to run away from their circumstances by just getting in. But then the aftermath and the after effect of that is that they then end up being employed in these industries, and these industries are probably not their best match. And then they end up, I wouldn't say failing in these industries, but not being as proactive as what they would have been yes, had it been yes. a passion for them.
Mm. What you see,
that's
you
why we're always advocating for students to be aligned to their career goals. They should study what they really passionate about so that they can contribute 100% towards it.
You mentioned something that catches my eye right there. The aspect of running from their fears and just trying to get in. There's that aspect of students who are going to university for the mere fact that their neighbor or their friend has qualified, and so they also now just squeezing to do that certificate, that diploma, which is not exactly what they wanted to do, or which is not even their strongest point in that aspect. So now, what mm-hmm. message would you say to those particular students? I think patience is one thing that is lacking in a lot of students. I myself wanted to take a gap year when I finished university, although I had the right point for the course for any course, almost so to say. But then I wasn't sure with what course to take. But all because parents now want you to go to university. The neighbor's child is going to university. You too now are forced to go to university. Why is it so very important to sit down, collect the right points then, collect the right results then, and do the very right course that you are aligned with?
You know, what I will tell prospective students is that they need to assess their passion against the current job trends via also Namibia's labor reports. It's important for us to read these reports and to read where are the skill gaps, and do I have the necessary passion and the necessary sort of like soft skills to actually enter into those skills gaps? Also, another one is also to encourage the students to seek career counseling earlier. I know that from a primary school level up to high school level, the education system does cater for life skills teaching. And within the life skills teaching, there should be a component of career guidance, especially from an early age. In my view, being in the industry for over 15 years, I would recommend career counseling actually starts from grade 6 already, so that that early intervention can actually take place with the students so that they can start moving in the path that they would want to move into. And then by grade 10, already you know where you want to be, your choice subjects that you are taking for grade 11 or the courses that you're taking in grade 11, grade 12 will already then be aligned to what you want to become. And then your career counseling should just be upgraded during that time through your life skills teaching, so that the students are preparing mock applications to universities already by grade 10, so that they know how it is. And for those that have to write sort of like entry tests into South African universities or even to Namibian universities, those entry tests, they must do mock tests of these different industries, so that the student is already well equipped, so that when the time is right, they are already aware of what the steps are and they are able to follow it also seamlessly. Also, what I would also then also recommend is universities that are offering bridging courses. Some students may not be able to get into the field that they desire. Say, for instance, I want to study mechanical engineering at a certain university in Namibia, but I don't have enough points.
Yeah.
But then it is there. You always have institutions that also offer those bridging courses. I know that I don't want to mention university names right now, but I do know that most universities also have that bridging course, or at least a lower level course that you can get into, like a diploma course, which you can start off in and then grow into the career that you are truly passionate about. And I will always recommend that it's easier for someone to get into teaching, for instance. I'm just making an example. So now you want to choose the easier way out because you got into teaching, but actually what you want to do is you want to study medicine, but if you don't have the points for medicine, I will recommend rather start off at a lower level, whether it is a diploma or whether it's a in-stem program, like a bridging program, that will take you 1 or 2 years to get into a diploma and then into the degree, meaning for you to finish your degree will probably take 8 years, but then you still end up at the final destination that your passion wants you to be in, instead of taking a shortcut and then end up in an industry that you're not even passionate about.
Some and still go back to school again.
Management, and then they end up being a civil servant, and really that they wanted to be a doctor.
And then still, you know, still go back to university. Finally, after now you're working in this particular career, you now realize, you know what, I wish I had done that. Now you'll be doing part-time again. So, and then you take now the 4 years that the first degree you did, and adding another 4 years, that's 8 in total at the end of the day. So yeah, that's what you're saying is very valid.
What I would also want to advise the listeners is that stop the trends, you know, stop going into trends just because my friend is going into, say for instance, just because my friend is going into marketing, I also want to do marketing. Maybe you're not even a marketeer. You understand? Avoid trends by all means and look at what you are good at. What is your passion? Where can you contribute? I would also want to mention that there are so many careers out there. Careers are not static. They evolve every day. Some careers merge and others are, you know, evolving even further. Back in the day, it used to be public relations and then communications on its own. Now it's a merge between public relations, communications, and marketing. You understand?
Yeah, I understand.
And even, yes, and I would say look at opportunities where you can become sort of like an entrepreneur in these different industries, opposed to trying to be a job seeker after getting your degree. I am very much for entrepreneurship. The market is already saturated for sociology, for psychology, for teaching, for all of that. But when you look at curriculum development, there is a skills gap in that, for instance. You can always become a consultant in curriculum development.
Excellent.
You know, you don't always have to study to be employed, but rather study to innovate. That is what I would recommend.
Very powerful insights right there, I must say. I'm listening and I'm learning so much myself. Take home myself. I take home the aspect of rather, take that bridging course and then finally you arrive at your destination opposed to going back and forth and then just, you know, doing something that you're not even passionate about and willing to change it altogether.
I mean, government is trying but they are really trying, promoting TVET programs. In today's newspaper, you would see that with your grade 9 through TVET, you are actually able to pursue a PhD in the future. So that is how the fields are opening up for yourself. So maybe you may not be academic for theory, but maybe you may be practically inclined. So you can always start off with your national diplomas or your national certificates in vocational training to become that engineer in the end of the day. And in most cases, the TVET students that start off as TVET, they actually become employees, but
they
at the same time also run short but small businesses.
They do
quick consultancies here and there, making their own money, so they now have two income streams. So career guidance and career opportunities no longer static. You no longer study to just be employed. You study to innovate. You study to multiply, to maximize the skills that are within you.
They do. You're right. I know of somebody who went on to study mechanic at the TVET university. I don't know whether we do call it university, but at the TVET institution.
Mm-hmm.
And as we speak now, he teaches people how to drive. You know, he's a driving instructor for this C1 trucks. And I'm telling you, he is a good entrepreneur. And when his trucks have perhaps some issues, he attends to them himself. Of course, because maybe for being busy,
he has a dual understanding of the field. From entrepreneurial, he is able to switch over immediately into the theory of what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ideally what we want to create in the Namibian education sector. Mm-hmm. We want to create individuals that are well-rounded, that are not just, you know, classroom specific and then workplace specific, but individuals that can think critically, that can make critical decisions, that are, you know, that are flexible with their response time, that exercise excellent customer service, whether you are in customer service or in an industry that doesn't even require customer service. So that is what we are trying to produce from the Namibian education system. A well-rounded individual that is able to take up space, whether in practical, in the practical, or whether in the theory, or whether in academic, or whether in entrepreneurship, but they should be thriving all over.
Crystal, thank you so much. You do obviously owe me an interview right here on Eagle FM, but it's a new year. Thank you so much. We have so much to discuss. I need to tap into your well of wisdom, but thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader.
No, thank you so much, Happy, for having me, and also to the listeners. Thank you so much. And please do make the right career choices.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. And there you had it from Crystal Nassau. She is Corporate Engagement and International Relations at the Vilvicha University. Of course, let's pause here now. This is On The Reader News Analysis. 0832-888-401 is the number in studio. Should you want to come through and air your opinions and contributions, let's pause right here. We have yet another interesting guest to speak on this subject matter.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tele ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano
okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. You are still tuned into On The Reader News Analysis right here on your number one talk radio station. Now, of course, joining me in studio now is Simon Namesho. Simon, thank you so much for making time for us right here on The Reader News Analysis. Oh, by the way, Simon Namesho is the manager of public relations at the University of Namibia. Good afternoon, Simon.
Good afternoon, Dafa, and good afternoon to your listeners. Mm. Glad to have you on your show again.
Of course. Pleasure is all mine. We're talking about career guidance and not just any career guidance, so to say, Simon. Why is it so very important for students to choose the right course at this particular point in time that actually aligns with economic development and contributes significantly to the social aspect or socioeconomic aspect of our country?
Therefore, I think there's a big connection in terms of a personal decision in terms of career, your own interest, as well as looking at the national job market in Namibia. But apart from those two, you also want to look at the global job market opportunities out there. And then everything connected to who then offers these qualifications or this program to achieve either your own career aspiration. Or you're saying, no, look, I'm looking at the national job market and what is available there in the next 4 years, 5 years. And it's important to remember that also the job market is not fixed. It's fluid. It moves after a number of years. Mm-hmm. Industries change and industries come, emerge, some move away and shift. So I think to me, for us, it's quite important that one look at all those things. And if you combine all that, then you want to sit down and say, what is the course that I want to do now that can, after the 4 years I'm doing it, I'm most likely to get either employment or I'm able to start my own venture and employ people out there and, most importantly, make a difference in your community.
Mm. Simon, would you say we are doing enough perhaps in trying to educate students, freshmen students coming out of a high school, approaching university now on the right courses? Or perhaps sometimes we just throw them into the river and expect them to swim. Are we really doing enough in that aspect? And by we, I mean a collective effort from government, private institutions, public institutions, all together, even I as an individual. Do you think we are really doing enough? And what perhaps more can be done?
Yes, Ndafa. I think the answer is yes and no. I think yes, in terms of there are individuals, particularly who always make an effort to go to their respective communities or just doing their own tours in their area constituencies,
mm-hmm.
to speak to the learners, to the community about their own experience in terms of decision to career, decision to study. And those people are moving a needle in terms of one or two learners or a group of learners who then be informed and decide correctly. And then also, yes, in the sense that there are various career fairs that are being hosted by the regions, by the communities, by universities, by individual people that organize these fairs so that they can disseminate information and inform and educate those potential students or learners out there who can continue in that. But even on our side from the University of Namibia, last year, 2025, we had something called like a national drive where we went to schools and then we informed them and speak to grade 11 and grade 12 on the different programs that you can go and do at UNAM if you want to achieve your career as aspirations. And then I'm also saying no, and Alpha, because there's still so much that can be done. This is because we get learners that come to our doors and they want to do a certain program, a certain course in science, but then they were doing commerce all along. Or they were doing commerce all along and they wanted to do science, or they were doing science and they wanted to do commerce. Do remember that some courses have no issues in terms of your background, in terms of which field you're doing at high school. That's all fine and well. But those kids who are very clear and determined in terms of what they want to go and do are sometimes hindered by the combination that they take in grade 10 or in grade 11, in grade 12, those modules that they select. So and then when you ask them, they're just saying that they were not aware or they didn't know at all.
Mm.
So that's when you see that there's still more that can be done, either at group level, life skill level, or teacher's level, or career fair level. So more can still be done, definitely. But over time, we have also seen that schools, life skill teachers, have done quite a lot. They invest quite a lot, their own data, their own computers, where they go and research and give feedback to the groups that are really interested. But I also need to throw it back to the learners that it's also important that you spend your time looking at the things that you want to improve your life in. You spend your data only on social media and not necessarily social media to research on aspects that will improve your aspirations. And then I think you might be missing the mark in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that they too invest their energy, their data, and their attention to inquire and ask those questions of how do I study, how do I get the right information to achieve my career or my aspirations for that one.
Mm-hmm. Simon, let me ask this question. In terms of getting into a university or doing a particular course for universities, I've come to realize, of course, there are some courses that test theory part and practical part of certain students, and then get the students in or gives them admission based on certain requirements, and so not just on their not only on their theoretical part. In other words, also then making room for everyone, you know. Do you think maybe we should switch from theory based alone and move to this aspect of actually perhaps even a course requiring three different tests so that we don't close out some students who don't do so well theoretically but do so well practically?
Yes, that's true. And maybe I need to answer your question in two parts.
Okay.
One is to say, yes, we have, first of all, we have different pathways to enter university, particularly at UNAM, for example,
yeah.
Where you have your normal grade 12 with your passing and you come and apply and you are admitted. However, then you might have what you call mature age entering, which then many people say, no, look, I am at this level of my life. I feel I'm, using the word matured. I can see now left and right. I can see the importance of my education. I can see the value of the money I'm putting down when I want to go and study. And then is there no other way for me to join your university and to attain a qualification? Then the answer is yes, you can do it through mature age. The third one would then be something what we call a recognition of prior learning. You have been doing something, you have been working on a radio station for the longest of time, or you have been teaching this kindergarten in your community for the longest of time, or you were sewing, or you were doing counseling in your community, and people, or everybody knows, your headman knows, and the Induna knows that, yes, this person has really this art and craft of social work. Is there no other way you can recognize their learning and admit them so that they can attain a qualification? The answer is yes, you can do it through that. So those other means allows you to enter university to go and pursue a qualification. The other one is then at the level of grade 12 when you pass and you want to do a particular course. Some of the admission processes is that you need to write an admission test. Apart just from your passing grade. So that admission test, either verbally or written, will then again assess and sustain whether you are really ready for this. Are you really made up for this? Do you know what it takes to be a nurse, what it takes to be a psychologist, what it takes to be a doctor, what it takes to be a veterinary doctor, medicine or doctor? So all those ones then get to be tested. Apart from you qualifying, they test you on a written or an oral test. It's just to make sure that, do you know what you are going into? Are you really sure? So that's another way just to filter and encourage and to make sure it doesn't discourage, but it just then gives you a window to say, if this is what it's all about, I think I'm okay. I will not do that. I would rather do pharmacy. So the answer is yes. And that those other means testing of admission into a university program, especially at UNAM, then that you can then pursue. And then that we also use, not just to help the HAFA in a course, 2 years down the line, they would say, I just wish there was a way I knew at admission in my first year to be informed to say this is what it's all about. So the answer is yes, there are those avenues for some of our courses at UNAM.
Mm. Let me put you on the spot right here, sorry, with this question coming up, yes, Simon. So. From your opinion, right? Which one do you think is better, that a student enrolls in a particular course and then three months into that course then realizes, I don't think this is what I want, and then deregister at that point, or them going through it all throughout the year only for them to fail all their modules, probably only passed one or two towards the end of the year, and they have this expenses to pay if they had a loan doesn't want to pay the next year and stuff like that. From your opinion, which one do you think is better?
I think it will lean more towards when you find your purpose and then you pursue your purpose.
Mm.
And we, from where we are, especially at UNAM, we see this quite a lot, where somebody is pursuing a particular program in their second year or their third year, usually in their second year. That's when they just say, no, I'm dropping this education I'm doing, Bachelor of Education. I want to go and do engineering. Then they apply and they get admitted. They have done their 2 years already. Of course, some modules will then be exempted. One that applies for exemption. But then you start, of course, with your deep engineering programs and you go your basics before you go into your depth of, or your specialty of engineering. This applies, and those students, they prevail and they always are successful after their 4 years in that new program. The answer is yes. You can and you should look into that. However, you should also weigh it out against the cost and the time that you have spent in those 2 years. Are you saying, yes, I'm willing to jump ship given the time I've spent and the money I've spent? Or to say, oh, let me finish this and then when I'm done, I'll go and work maybe 2, 3, 4 years and then I come back and pursue this other course which I feel is more fulfilling for my purpose. And then the answer, if that answer is yes, then go ahead and do it. If you're saying no, it doesn't matter how much time I spent in this other course and how much money I spent in this other course, I'm still willing to forego this and go and pursue the other one. That is definitely possible. And within the university, there is that mobility that you can say, yes, I want to, I'm dropping this course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start a new one. And this is my motivation for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you always, sometimes you can be frowned upon to say, are you sure? Why are you giving up? Why are you quitting? But when you meet these students, they have this conviction to say, no, I am made for engineering. No, I'm made for pharmacy. I'm made for veterinary doctor.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So the answer is yes. If your purpose lies there and you weigh out your options, all by all means and well, yes. If you're saying yes, I still want to go and change. In future, I want to go and do law, but I'm doing accounting now. All fine and well. Finish your accounting program and go and pursue your law. If you weigh out and you speak to all your personal advisors in your immediate community, immediate circle, then you can say, no, I'm leaving this here. I'm going to pursue something else.
Simon, lastly, how would you say then should we, friends, family, the community, how should we perhaps assist such students, because they do exist, how should we be more accommodative to them? Because like you said, sometimes they go on to do very well in the course that they do change to. I've also seen a case of such a situation. So, but then how should we then be understanding in that particular aspect?
I think it's more on probing that particular person. You ask them once, you ask them twice, you ask them three times. If they maintain their position, if they are unshaken in their conviction or in their new purpose, then yes, then you give them their support. But I think if they just say it once, you don't know if they were joking or they were just weighing out or just a thought that came to mind, you leave it. Come back to them again a week later to say, oh, you had mentioned this aspect. Do you know what it means? Oh, yes, I do. I've looked into it. Okay. You come back to the third time. Then you ask, did you do enough research in terms of admission into the new course that you want to go and do, in terms of cost and in terms of job market or job market out there in nationally or globally? Have you looked into that? What's your prospect? Yes, I did. If not, you can also help them and say, okay, I will then help you. I will find your data to make sure you research as much as possible and you are informed as much as possible, so that when you make that decision, I am enabling you to have an informed decision by either giving you the data or buying you the airtime so you can research and have that informed position moving forward. Or I'll make an effort and look for that prospect of that course you want to go and do, and I'll give it to you and you read. Or we read together and I said, okay, can you see what they are asking? They are asking these symbols. Don't just come and tell me when you already have quit your program, you don't attend class anymore because you are about to go and do this. Let's make an informed decision of the way forward. And then if I can support you all the way to say, okay, you and me understand that I've been funding you 100%, but because of this decision, I want to fund you 50%. Oh, yes, we agree and understand. I'll find other means to make up the other 50% because it's my choice. So that kind of conversation should definitely be happening and not just straightforward shutting them down on the first call. Yes, it's important to make a probe decision. Ask them regularly. That's what I would suggest, and what our advice would say, until the person is definitely clear. By the third or fifth time, if it's not a real conviction, if it's not a purposeful one, they will also just sway to say, ah, no, look, I don't want that idea anymore. I'll continue this program and finish it.
Mm-hmm.
So by the third, fifth time you ask them. So not just by the first whim, you are already changing, you're quitting, etc. So just make sure that your conviction is strong enough, you weigh your options, and you make sure that you make an informed decision. And if you are in a supporting role, support them, the person to make an informed decision on their way and inform them of the consequences and the pros and cons of such a decision.
Indeed. Simon, your last words to the students, especially those ones now who are going to be stepping into university for the first time.
For us, we are ready at UNAM for the 2020 academic year. We are actually all excited and we are all keeping our fingers crossed for those learners as they expect their results come next week. And I think the message is dual from our side to say that, yes, if you pass, congratulations in advance. And if you haven't made it by then, life is not all about that. Life is longer. Life is more long-term. Life is wider. Look at your options. Weigh out your options. And importantly, you are not the first not to have made it at one try.
Mm-hmm.
Try again a second time. We have so many stories here and there of our students that have tried 3 or 4 or 5 times AS level, and they came back and they passed and they've joined our courses and they are studying. We have a number of people in different spheres of life, at different level of life, whether they are security guards, whether they are ex-co members, whether they are middle managers. If you look at their stories, they'll tell you, I have failed once, I have failed twice, I have passed at first try. So we all encourage that the story should be unique in whatever form it is, the results come out that day. Our registration are opening on the 12th until the 30th of January for our first year students, and late registration goes on the 2nd until the 6th of February, with classes starting on the 28th of January for your course semester. So we're all welcoming them. We expect them at any of our 12 campuses UNAM-wide. And please feel free to look at our new course menu of our programs that we have, which are all accredited by the NQA as well as the NCHE. You will be doing transformed and new programs for the 21st century, programs that are researched and informed by industry and that can give you an opportunity in the local market as well as on the global market.
Mm. Simon, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Analysis. I'm sure that there was somebody who was listening and it was just the right information that they needed to hear. So I really do appreciate your insights with us.
Well, thanks so much, Nafa, for having me. And I say maybe last word is just to say that as we are mostly all of us are aware of the subsidized education, tertiary education that is in Namibia, for Namibians, for those who are eligible, this is your opportunity. You can speak to the university, you can speak to the implementing agency, the NSFAF, or to the ministry themselves for the information. But do make sure that you are informed. If you are not informed, find a way to get through how you are informed. I think the best way is also to listen to Eagle FM. They are one of the best stations out there. And we appreciate always when they bring us onto that platform to share information with the public.
Simon, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. And there you had it from Simon Anamesho. He is the manager of public relations at the University of Namibia. Of course, let's pause here now, take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back with what's making headlines in terms of economic indicators. Thereafter, News Beyond the Borders is coming your way. 0832-888-401 is the number in studio. 0832-888-401 is the number in studio. Should you have a question, opinion, or contribution to share with us?
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia, make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the hour.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurani ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile konderewa, vera hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and now for economic indicators. $1 today is equals to 16.54 Namibian dollars. That is 16 Namibian dollars and 54 cents. Have you noticed that the dollar has against the Namibian dollar has been really low since December? But nonetheless, I see that it's coming up steady. Whether it's gonna go up or keep on, or perhaps maybe drop, we'll see, yet for us to see in the course of time. Now, €1 is equals to 19 Namibian dollars and 27 cents. One Australian dollar is equals to 11.05 Namibian dollars. One dinar, that is one United Arab Emirates dirham, equals to 4 Namibian dollars and 50 cents. One Botswana pula is equals to 1 Namibian dollar and 23 cents. Now let's move over to news beyond the borders. Let's start off in South Africa, where fire has consumed about 10,000 hectares in Tiki Kamas Kurbums. That is in South Africa. Let's take a listen.
But now let's move to the Western Cape. This is where SANParks say a wildfire is currently burning in the Kierboom's Soetkraal area within the Tsitsikamma section of the Garden Route National Park. The fire is believed to have been caused by lightning. The fire has spread over an estimated 10,000 hectares. Tanya Krause is on that story for us. Tanya, give us an update. Talk to us about this particular incident.
Good morning. Yes, it seems the situation has calmed down a bit overnight. But as you said, the wildfire is burning in a remote mountainous section of the Tsitsikamma section of the Garden Route National Park. Lightning related and estimated to have burned around 10,000 hectares. So far, there has been some damage to property infrastructure on the Tsitsikamma site. And I think the highest risk that they've updated us with is that private orchards in the Lang Kloof and homesteads and small settlements around the crag are the most at risk. But fire crews are really focused on protecting life and property in those spots.
Yeah. These ones, you obviously, we're talking in that particular Titicaca area, but just having a little bit of a deeper dive into some of the other wildfires, because it does seem that there are pockets of it happening everywhere. Perhaps you want to give us an overview. Are there any other active fires that we should be aware of at this point within the Western Cape, or is this now the focus of attention around also the Mossel Bay area?
Yes, I think the Mossel Bay area's fire was quite bad. At the moment, it has also died down a bit. It's looking a lot calmer than last night. I think at about 10:30, all the running fire lines were stopped, and they're mainly doing mop-up work in places like the Nimnum Eco Estate, Alvendal, Thornspan-Falay, Hartenbosch, Jevels, and Renosterbosch. So it's definitely stabilized, but crews are not standing down. The maximum resources are still out there, especially because the wind direction keeps shifting.
Yeah. And that of course is always the problem when it comes to these particular fires. When that wind picks up, they just jump from one place to the next. Overberg and surrounds, Purdey Beach, how are we looking there? The Greyton area, that situation?
I don't have too much information about those fires, but as in other areas, firefighting teams are on the ground just making sure that the hotspots and smoldering areas are being doused, and that they keep an eye on any flare-ups.
Okay. All right, we'll leave it there, Tanya. Thanks so much. We'll be in touch with you, or perhaps you'll be in touch with us as well if anything more develops on that side. But just giving you a comprehensive overview of the wildfires that we are talking to, both within the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape as of today.
Still in South Africa, more than 20 miners were intercepted by BMA at the border today. Let's take a listen.
Meanwhile, more than 20 miners have been intercepted by the Border Management Authority near the Limpopo River in the vicinity of the Beit Bridge border fence. The children are aged between 5 and 17 years and are believed to have been en route from South Africa to Zimbabwe. 10 adults were also intercepted with the group. However, preliminary verification has confirmed that only one of those adults is a parent to one of the children. BMA spokesperson Mem Memhosi says this has raised serious concerns regarding child protection.
The Commissioner of the Border Management Authority, Dr. Michael Masiapato, has confirmed that the BMA and the South African National Defence Force has intercepted and supervised minors near Beit Bridge port of entry. The Border Management Authority, working in close cooperation with the South African National Defence Force, has intercepted more than 20 miners near the Limpopo River in the vicinity of the Beit Bridge border fence. The children aged between 5 and 17 years are believed to have been en route from South Africa to Zimbabwe when they were intercepted during routine border safeguarding operations. Among them, there were 10 adults. However, preliminary verification conducted by BMA officials has confirmed that only one adult is the parent of one child. The remaining minors were found to be traveling without parental supervision or lawful guardianship. The interception has raised serious concerns regarding child protection, possible exploitation, and non-compliance with immigration and child welfare legislation. All individuals have been placed under the care of the relevant authorities, and processes are underway to ensure the safety, well-being, and lawful handling of the minors in line with the South African laws and international child protection protocols.
Moving over to Zambia, Livingstone hosts key regional security talks. Let's take a listen to that.
In a bid to address the worsening security and humanitarian crisis in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, an extraordinary meeting of defense experts from the International Conference on the Great Lakes region has officially opened in Livingstone. This high-level gathering brings together military leaders, diplomats, and experts from across the region to formulate strategies to combat the destabilizing activities of armed groups like the M23, whose operations continue to threaten peace and security in the DRC. Zambia's Army Commander, Lieutenant General Geoffrey Ziele, underscored the growing toll their groups are taking on the region.
The humanitarian and security situation in the Eastern DRC remains precarious, hence demanding our urgent attention. Families are displaced and communities live in constant fear. The crisis is not confined within one nation's borders. It goes across all borders.
Lieutenant General Ziele called for greater unity in the region, stressing that peace must be actively defended.
Our deliberation today must be guided by compassion, solidarity, and a determination to act decisively together.
Speaking at the event, Ambassador Yasser Ibrahim Ali Muhammad, Deputy Executive Secretary of the International Conference on the Great Lakes Region, echoed the urgency of the situation.
The situation escalated dramatically with the recent capture, as indicated, of Uvira, a strategic town near DRC-Burundi border, resulting in the closure of the border, which was vital for Bujumbura and for Burundi. This offensive has deepened the humanitarian crisis and highlighted the risk of cross-border destabilization.
The continued violence threatens the very sovereignty of the region's nations, jeopardizing peace and stability across the Great Lakes. Brigadier General Emmanuel Kaputa Kasenga, who chairs the International Conference on the Great Lakes Region's Defense Committee, emphasized that this meeting is a crucial step in addressing the crisis. The experts in Livingston are laying the groundwork for decisions to be taken by the chiefs of defense forces, leading to a ministerial meeting scheduled for this Saturday. Mercy Ngoma, ZNBC News in Livingston.
You know, still in Zambia, manufacturers in Zambia have welcomed improved power supply.
Zambia's power situation is showing clear signs of recovery, and businesses say the impact is already being felt. With electricity supply stabilizing, factories are running longer hours, operations are smoother, and productivity is picking up across key sectors of the economy. Zambia Association of Manufacturers President Mohamed Omar says improved power supply is giving the industry the confidence it needs to plan, produce and grow.
As manufacturers, it's very important that we have predictable schedules. This allows us to plan accordingly and remove the element of wastage. This also allows us to plan our cash flow accordingly.
Beyond the industry, communities are also benefiting. With improved security lighting, stronger communication networks, and reduced disruptions to daily life.
That
can be a bonus if power can be improved, maybe for the whole year. That we can appreciate.
Energy expert Johnston Chikwanda says stable power supply is a critical foundation for economic expansion and job creation.
If this increased stability is sustained, it will lead to improved economic activities, security in our communities, and job creation.
From households to heavy industry, the message is consistent. Power stability is unlocking opportunity. And with government pledging to sustain the gains, stakeholders believe Zambia is on a firm path toward long-term economic growth. Daisy Mulenga, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Meanwhile, in Uganda, ahead of election, Uganda's security forces are accused of using violence.
Tension continues to build in Uganda ahead of next week's general election. Authorities have detained opposition leaders and this woman, a key civic leader, accusing her of illegally obtaining access to the National Voters Register. Before her arrest, Sara Birete had called next week's election a sham in an interview.
The state wants it to be a ritual, but the citizens have made it a real contest. And when you analyze data, districts with the highest voter population are all in favor of opposition and change. The urban centers in Uganda are in favor of change. The demographics, Uganda being one of the youngest countries in the world, are in favor of change, and the regime is panicking.
Critics say the criminal charges against Birete are politically motivated. Veteran opposition leader Kizza Besigye also remains in prison on treason charges. He's been in detention since December 2024.
The refusal of court to grant bail to opposition activists and leaders, which is a targeted lawfare against opposition in Uganda, including the incarceration of Dr. Kizza Besigye, a leading opposition figure in Uganda. All these are segments that take away the credibility of the elections.
Museveni's main opponent in the upcoming election is the musician turned politician, popularly known as Bobi Wine.
Meanwhile, a Kenyan-American creates eco-friendly cooking stoves to fight Africa's fatal smoke.
Changamoto ni nyingi, moja ni moshi, imetuaffect macho, naona venye nimejikuna, ni moshi. Na ukosefu hata wa hizo kuni. Unachukua muda sana kupata hiyo kuni. Na wakati unazipata expensive. Huwa ninaamuka kitu saa 9. Ndio hii moto tuende tuchachishe kuni. Ndio tuweze kuwakisha moto. Inachukua wakati mwingine kuni hazijakauka vizuri. Inachukua muda.
So the story of Cookswell Jikos started back in the early 1980s. My dad was a professor of urban planning at the time, but he'd had this passion of improving the way cooking was happening. So he'd been inventing and making small different types of stoves, and then someone heard about him through the Ministry of Energy in Kenya, and there was a project to develop a stove that used half as much charcoal as the traditional all-metal one. So he went with some artisans from Kenya to Thailand, and they based the initial Kenya ceramic jiko off of the Thai bucket stove. So it's a small single pot cook stove that uses charcoal, and the big invention was to add the ceramic liner, which stops the heat from being wasted off to the sides and focuses all of the heat on the bottom of the pot. And so we've developed the Cookswell charcoal baking oven, which is a convection oven, very energy efficient. You can use a tiny bit of coal to almost cook a whole goat, roast many loaves of bread. And we sell to businesses, to people at home, to hotels, restaurants, you name it. Anyone who needs a reliable, high-quality, good oven that's also portable, so you can use it for catering businesses. To complement that, we've also designed charcoal-making kilns for businesses who'd like to start making their own charcoal. So instead of buying it, you can make charcoal without cutting down a tree. And this is a very revolutionary aspect within the charcoal industry, because typically you have to cut down trees if you're going to use charcoal. Our kilns are designed to only use the branches and the twigs, so you can prune the trees, get the same quality, same type of charcoal that you're used to, but without killing the trees. We then recently have added our last part of the puzzle, so to speak, was the seed ball program. And this is when everyone buys the stove, you get a free packet of indigenous acacia tree seeds. So you're able to start growing a future supply of firewood and charcoal for yourself and for your business down the line. And so we're calling this the seed to ash cycle. So we're trying to help anyone who's going to be using wood fuels, how do they do it in a sustainable, efficient, and clean manner in the future? We're lucky to have had some good market penetration all over East Africa. We can send all of our products as far as northern Uganda to southern Tanzania. So regionally, we're able to supply all of our neighbors, which is wonderful, learning about how people cook in the countries around Kenya. And also, we have a partner in Switzerland. He came here during COVID and happened to see one of the ovens at a hotel and just fell in love with them. And now he's been selling the ovens for the European market, which I believe they really appreciate, that things are high quality and handmade in an artisanal style, and especially that it's this time-tested kind of safari-proven oven that people have been using all over Kenya, fits very well into the outdoor culture for people cooking in Europe.
And with that being said, we have now come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkana Thinking program brought to you by Louis Shimi. From Indafa, happy Juju. It is goodbye. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and Friday afternoon. Also do ensure that you tune in tomorrow on Life Lessons from 1900 hours to 2100 hours. Goodbye.